Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Thursday morning to one and all. It is Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Can't play a talking number to call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way on the side at the controls. AB with your updates as we go 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. All of our great affiliates all across the country. Sirius and XM 206 app as well. Same bat channel, same bat spot. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz of the Moose, at official Taz, 1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bro?
All right, good. Moose, excited for another action-packed show. We got a couple of,
Tony Dungy will be in studio with us, and his lovely wife, Lauren, will be in studio with us coming up at 7 a.m. Eastern time. Be with us for about a half hour, so looking forward to talking to the former football coach and current analyst for NBC, and then coming up later on in the show, coming up at 8:40 a.m. Eastern time, we're going to talk to David Dusek. Golf Week PGA Championship gets going today, fourth and final major of the year, and the cavalcade of stars out there for the fourth and final major. So, got a good show on tap. A lot of things to get into. The three leftovers, plenty of your calls and interaction on social media as well. And I guess we begin, Taz, with the big news surrounding the NCAA and some of the rule changes. Correct?
Yeah. It's some of it's clear. Some of it's a little confusing. But we're gonna dive right into it for sure. This happened yesterday. Around what time would you say it was? Around 2 p.m. Easternish, somewhere around there.
Yeah, maybe you might be right. I'm not 100% sure about the time, but yes,
blew up Twitter. It was all over Twitter. It was a huge thing. And then when you start reading through it, it's huge. But is it huge? You know, I mean, there's some things that are in there that are very cool. The thing that jumps out to me is something you brought up a while back here that you were hoping would happen, and it did, which I think is great. And I don't want to speak for you, but I think you might agree is that. That kids can basically, if they're in college and they go into the NBA draft and they don't get drafted, they can go back to their school where they left. So I remember you brought that up a while back. I'm not sure if you remember that.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, I do. I know that maybe the NBA was blindsided by the rule changes, but you go through it. There's a number of things to get into. And first and foremost, in terms of the ability for elite level high school prospects and elite level college prospects to hire agents that are certified by the NCAA. Which is, honestly, anytime you hired an agent in the past, that took away, you were then ineligible, right? So it took away your amateurism. That was it. I mean, once you hire an agent, street agent, whatever it might be, that was it for you as a college basketball player. That's not necessarily the case now. As long as that agent is accredited by the NCAA and approved by the NCAA, you can hire an agent and still play college basketball.
Yeah, not yet. Correct. But the thing is, like, it's like a couple things, right? So I was looking at some stuff on Twitter, like inside the NCAA. It says, to clarify, rules would allow high school players to have agents only after the NBA and the NBPA begin allowing players to draft it out of high school. Details regarding how high school prospects are eligible will be considered before the rule's effective. So the thing is, right, a couple things, Moose. Like, to me, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, what is elite? If you think about that, right? So it's like, what is elite? So that would be, I guess, whatever USA Basketball deems a player is as a senior. But
right, you have to be invited to specific certified basketball camps when you're deemed elite.
Okay, that's cool. But to me, it's interesting because there are a lot of kids that are in all sports, not just basketball, late bloomers. And I guess it would be the kid that's maybe on the radar who's been playing in different, different tournaments, AAU and stuff like that, coming up as a freshman, sophomore in high school on the recruiting trail. I guess that's how you get that status, I would assume.
I think from my understanding, what I read yesterday is basically if you are you're deemed elite, there's going to be certain basketball camps that if you are invited to, then you are deemed elite. Now, what camps are those? Which ones?
Right.
That is yet to be determined. Yeah. I mean, so, and that's open to interpretation because prospects can change year in and year out. The level of prospects, where you fall on a certain list. Are you talking about elite top 15, top 20? Are you talking about top 50 high school kids? Then they're all deemed elite. I don't know. That's a little bit of an issue. I do like the idea that if you are undrafted, you can return to college. The issue for college programs then would be, where do you come up with the finances for that? Because oftentimes when a guy declares for the NBA draft and he hires an agent,
right,
usually they've gone on their merry way and turned their and moved on from moved on from that player.
That's right.
Now all of a sudden, if that player then goes undrafted, 5 o'clock the following day, they have to notify the school whether or not they're coming back. If they do deem that they are coming back, and all of a sudden that scholarship is no longer there, what exactly do you do as a program to pay for said scholarship? Where does that funding and finances come from? Now, for major programs like Kentucky, North Carolina, UCLA, I mean, think about the big basketball programs in the country. They're going to have the finances to be able to, for the most part, to be able to pay for that. When you look at some of the other programs in the country, now those that might struggle financially to a degree, where exactly are you going to come up with that money?
Correct. And that's basically the deal right there. Because if a program doesn't have all the finances, like some of the schools you mentioned, from Duke to Kentucky and whatnot, some of the big blue bloods and powers, a lot of these programs are, not a lot, but there's a good chunk of the Division I's that are not fully funded programs. So that means they're not allowed the maximum scholarships, per whatever sport it may be. Now, some schools have it where, okay, we're going to fully fund our football program, we're going to fully fund our girls' basketball program, but we're going to three-quarter fund our boys' basketball program. Believe it or not, that happens. I'm not saying that happens at a UVA or that happens at a Villanova or happens at a Kentucky or UNC, but there are a lot of programs where they are not fully funded, so that's where, to your point, and what a lot of people think about, well, what happens, like you just said, kid goes to put himself in the draft, it doesn't happen, now he wants to go back to that school, he talks to the AD, lets him know by 5 p.m., what is it, that day or the next day? Or Monday of that day. I think it's like...
No, 5 p.m. Monday following the draft. So if the draft is on a Thursday night, you have until 5 o'clock the following Monday to let the school know you're coming back.
So now, anytime
up until that point.
To your point, like, what happens? So now the kid comes back. So does the kid and the parents have to, if they can't financially afford it, go get financial aid? Do they have to hope to get some academic money? Because I think a lot of casual sports fans assume, kids are just on scholarship. They're all on full scholarships, and it's like they're endless funds, and that's not true.
No, not true. And so that does change, that does adjust, and then you get to the ability for the NCAA also, Taz, if a school should be recruiting against NCAA rules and having rules violations, there's going to be sterner.
Stricter, sterner.
Whatever,
awesome.
However way you want to look at it. You could go either of both ways.
I would say sterner.
Yeah, you could go that the NCAA basically, it's not going to be a slap on the wrist anymore. It's not going to be this the case of if you have rules violations, they're going to hand it to you moving forward as a program. So, I mean, that's a good thing as well.
I
think for making sure that and hoping that coaches, programs, boosters, it's not the wild, wild west out there, because I think for a stretch and a long stretch of time here, it was. Now, does it resolve everything? No, because the NCAA makes all these announcements, Taz, and we talk about eligibility, the hiring of agents, guys being able to go back to school, harsher penalties if there are rules violations. according to your program, you know, in reference to your program. The other issue you have is the NCAA didn't address paying players.
Right. Well, that's the main thing, I would think, you know, and that wasn't addressed. Some people, I think, may feel like, well, what's the deal here? You know, you make a statement. I mean, if you're the NCAA, then you walked it back, you know, because there were some clarifications and there are some adjustments with that whole thing we're just discussing about age, with in regards to having an agent and everything, and what's elite, what's not elite. You know, I don't know if they have everything figured out just yet. And not to have, if you are the NCAA, it's a little confusing that USA Basketball is not in the loop here, or the NBA. You know, that you're not, there's not like a connectivity there between those few parties is a little odd, no?
Wait, run that by me.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, not to have that, like the NBA and the USA Basketball, they're kind of blindsided by the whole thing. They weren't expecting this.
No, they were not.
So that's my point, is like, well, you would think that the NCAA would have some kind of conversations or connectivity with those other two entities.
You would think, right? You would think so in terms of player eligibility. You would think so in terms of hiring agents to an extent. But I mean, doesn't the NCAA? I know they were blindsided by it, but isn't it the job of the commission here in the NCAA to try and clean up their own house?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of cleaning up to do. Yeah,
and there's a lot of cleaning up. But should I be contacting the Players Association, the NBA, in order to try and resolve my problems? I mean, it does it solve everything? No. Here's the one thing I do like. The one thing I do like is this. I do like the fact of if I'm a young man, and I make a mistake and go into the draft, I go undrafted, that I could still go back to college.
Yes,
that I'm not all of a sudden playing overseas at 19, 20 years of age. And I can't go back and get my education. I do like that very fact. Now, Taz, the other issue you have is it going to resolve all the issues? No, because players are still going to get paid under the table because they're not receiving any sort of payment for the amount of money that they're coming in. And listen, that's the age old argument. We've been having that argument for decades, whether it be in your backyard bar here on CBS Sports Radio for the last 5-6 years, locally on radio, about how the NCAA should resolve their collegiate athletes in terms of what kind of money should be coming their way, especially when you look at the high money programs like football and college basketball.
Yeah, of course.
When you are at big time, top five, you know, big five conference programs. So it doesn't resolve that. It's an interesting step forward for the NCAA. Some would argue maybe it creates more issues. Does it resolve a lot? I don't know if I necessarily think it's sitting here on this Thursday morning, Taz, that it resolves a lot of things.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it resolves a lot either, but at least
they did something.
They did something, or there's some noise. At least it wasn't like they're just like closing their doors in their office and no one knows what's going on. At least there's just some dialogue that was open, that's public. Even if it's walked back a little bit, I mean, at least there's something there. I think that if you're a college basketball player, an underclassman, or maybe you're an upperclassman in high school that's legit, that's a real good player, maybe you know things clear up for you a little bit. Maybe you can get an agent now if you're one of these elite players, and you know that helps you and you're bargaining or whatever. There is at least the NCAA. They didn't just do what they have normally done and just say nothing. You know what I mean? Like, at least something's being said here.
That's
true. Something to bite into a little bit.
All right, but to draw a comparison, if you're a homeowner and have an apartment, right? And yeah. Say you have a leak, right? And say there's a leak behind the wall and it's starting to crack the paint that you have on said wall, right?
That's a problem.
Right, that's a problem. Instead of going back and fixing the leak, didn't they just put a fresh coat of paint on it?
No spackle?
Or you could do spackle and then paint, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, didn't they, instead of fixing and addressing the massive issue,
seal the leak? They didn't do that. They just painted over the cracks in the wall.
Right, you could still see a way for, if guys want to cheat, they're going to cheat.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Players still are not getting paid. The big issues now, it still has to be what the NCAA is asking for here. It still has to be approved by the NBA and the Players Association, and it's expected to be approved by them, right?
Right.
So that's – and I think NBA organizations don't have any issue with guys going back to school if they go undrafted. So they're not heartless SOBs.
No, no.
They have no issue with that. I think but I think for NCAA basketball here – I don't think the one and done rule necessarily works for them. I don't think it's a good thing right. for them. I think it would be better served if I'm a top five high school prospect and I'm going to be a first round draft choice. I should just go to the NBA instead of having the charade of going to college for 5 months before I declare myself eligible for the NBA draft.
Yeah,
or 6 months.
For 6 months, right? I mean, are we going to get to the point? Is that going to happen where college athletes, especially like football players and basketball players, I know we've talked about it before, and I only name those two sports because, let's be honest, they're the real money makers. They're the ones, especially football, that pull, you know, millions upon millions of dollars into, you know, universities, into programs, into schools, into colleges. So, you know, but is that going to happen? We've talked about it a lot in the past, Moose, and we're not done. I mean, we're going to be talking about this, like, not just our show, a lot of shows. Radio, TV, everything in sports, you know, right? Not even just sports coverage. You know, it's been going on for a while, this conversation. If and when will this happen where athletes are getting paid, collegiate athletes? You know, and how do you figure that out? Good luck. I mean, like, it's a little bit of a... Who
well,
do you
it's
pay
tricky because
it's
you're
tricky, yeah.
right with Title IX. You got to pay everybody.
Correct. And now is your tier system? How do you do it? You know what I mean? It's just a little nutty. I mean,
right. And then you're looking at the level of player per team as well. There's that because there are different levels of importance per on a player. I mean, so
yeah.
are you going to pay the starting quarterback the same thing that you're going to pay, say, the ninth offensive lineman?
Right. Right. No. You're not.
Is that really? The ninth offensive lineman wouldn't mind it,
no.
but the starting quarterback might have an issue with it.
I could tell you this.
When he walks into that stadium, he sees his jersey being sold left and right.
And he sees all those people, you know, almost 100,000 people chanting his name.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, you're right. And here's the thing. If you did an exit poll and spoke to college athletes, okay, and you don't have to speak to football players, and well, actually, you should speak to football players. I bet you most of them would say, if you ask them about, hey, is it fair? What happens that you're not getting paid? Most of them would say, absolutely not. It's not fair because, as we say in the wrestling business, we're drawing a house. So, you know, that means they're pulling those people into those big stadiums. You know, again, especially football, big-time D1 football. There's a lot of money being made. And like you said, Title IX, you pay one group of athletes, you got to pay them all. I mean, it's going to happen, I think, eventually. I just don't know when and how you figure it out. It's going to be nuts.
We want to hear from you. Are you buying into the new NCAA reforms? Will it work or just get a little bit more confusing? We'll touch upon some other rules that Taz and I have not mentioned as of yet, and we'll do that next at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram as well. At Taz and the Moose, at official Taz1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C. As we roll right along, just getting going on an action-packed Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, just getting going here on this Thursday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you on CBS Sports Radio. AB is in the house for his first update of this morning. NCAA, new NCAA rules and all. Take it away, AB.
Turn your mic on, sir.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, boy.
Get out the mustard, Tez. Oh. A grand salami in Chicago last night.
Now, here's the 3-2. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Garcia going back on the track near the wall, and she is gone. It's a grand slam. I think it hit off the base of the foul pole. It's a grand slam. A Stantonian home run.
John Sterling on Yankees radio. Giancarlo Stanton capping off a six-run second with the
four. Why didn't he say Grand Salami? Grand Salami Jones.
Yeah.
Why didn't he say it?
He did once before, but he didn't last night.
No. He must have known I got a little pissed that he hacked me.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what happened.
He's respectful mm-hmm. of your intellectual property.
He is John Sterling. Not to use pronouns. I hate pronouns, but I digress. Continue.
Salami Who puts mustard on salami?
Yeah, good point. Who does that? I'm not a mustard guy on salami.
It's not supposed to make sense.
You know what I put on salami? No, I know people that have done that, but mm-hmm. I agree with Moose.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's a little gross. I'm more of an oil and vinegar with salami.
Sure, yeah, I can see that.
Come on now. Let's
or you could do the, you ever do the,
Lemanis?
Yeah. In between and stack it. And, yeah.
Weigh Fatty it down. Jones. Yeah.
Wait. You go salami, mayo, salami, mayo, salami?
Yeah, stack
it. Yeah, you could stack it and then you press it down and then you cut it into triangles.
And you
do it as an appetizer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, that's right. That's good.
That's
I've
called
never heard
health.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
It sounds light.
It's just
low in sodium,
fat, and cholesterol, but it's good.
Yeah, it's
do
good.
Do that on wheat bread so you get your fiber.
The Yankees sweeping the White Sox thanks to Stanton's grand slam 7-3. The Red Sox running their win streak to 6, 10-5 in Toronto. The Royals roughed up the Cubs 9-0. Francisco Lindor, 3-run homer, bottom 9. Cleveland 5, Minnesota 2. And the A's got by the Dodgers 3-2. Oakland has won 7 of 8, while L.A. and Arizona again exchange spots atop the NL West. The D-backs in first by a half game this morning because they beat the Phillies yesterday afternoon. The Braves an 8-3 win in Washington last night. The Cardinals dropped the Marlins 7.
Did you see that? I saw this game here. Okay, the Braves won a game 8-3 to your point. They beat the Nats. The ump in this game, he's throwing out guys from the Nationals left and right out of this game. This guy was out of control. His strike zone was like from here to like St. Louis. I mean, his strike zone was horrendous. Guys getting chucked out of the game left and right. There was a big delay in the game. Very disappointing. Things that baseball don't need. Juan Soto, I think he got thrown out. The hitting coach got thrown out, Kevin Long. The home plate ump, Greg Gibson, very annoying. He annoyed the hell out of me watching this game. I'm not even a Braves fan. I'm sorry, a Nats fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I'm not a Nats fan. I'm just telling you, I felt bad for the Nationals. It wasn't nice what happened there. It wasn't nice.
The Cardinals, a 7-1 win in Miami.
Good talk.
And the Brewers jumped on my fellow Fordham alum, Brett Kennedy.
Swing and a drive in the right center and deep. Could it be 3? Get up! Get out of here! It is gone! And Eric Thames follows with number 16. Aguilar, Shaw, Thames.
Bob Uecker, Brewers Radio.
The guy
I don't
know.
He got
like,
lost.
There's
a lot happening. Back-to-back-to-back homers for a 5-run first, which became an 8-4 win over the Padres. Kennedy making his major league debut. He was 10-0 in AAA and allowed just 6 long balls in 89 innings. Cleveland Browns rookie wideout Antonio Callaway is with the team in New Jersey for tonight's preseason opener against the Giants. His initial court date pushed back to the 23rd. Callaway arrested early Sunday morning for marijuana possession and driving with a suspended license. And dash cam video now shows that bullets and gun parts also found in his car.
I think he had a part of a Glock.
He had like a strap. I don't know guns. I don't understand how it was described. But
definitely
not
a good sign.
All of this from a routine traffic stop again early Sunday morning. Last year's PGA champ, Justin Thomas, tees off at Belrive near St. Louis at 5:23 Pacific this morning. He's enjoying the perks this week.
It's obviously been fun. Having a parking spot that I can pull into is nice.
How about that? Trophy, prize check, and a parking spot.
Wish I had that here.
Nice.
Thomas playing with Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy in rounds 1 and 2. The first group goes off at 6:50 Central. And finally, soccer. The U.S. Open Cup semifinals. The Philadelphia Union knocked out the Chicago Fire 3-0. And the Houston Dynamo got by LAFC in penalty kicks, boys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. So we were talking about the NCAA and the big announcement yesterday. And if you're just joining us or if you had we're not paying attention yesterday in terms of what the rules, the impact. Well, a quick synopsis here. All players who get invited to the NBA Combine but go undrafted will have the option to return to their former school. Elite prospects will now be allowed to have official relationships with agents. The NCAA is requiring all school presidents, chancellors, and athletics staff members to contractually comply with any and all future investigations. School presidents and chancellors will now be personally held accountable by the NCAA for their athletic departments abiding by the rules. Recruiting calendar has changed to an extent, if that's troubling to you. And the FBI's case into the college basketball brought about mounds of documents of information. Previously, the NCAA did not allow for information and findings from outside investigations at established agencies to be used in infraction process effective immediately. The NCAA and its Committee on Infractions can use all of that information. So it doesn't have to necessarily be an NCAA investigation, Taz, that you're able to get that information from. If a independent, say the FBI like that, is able to gather information as they were able to, the NCAA previously had not been able to use that information, which makes little to no sense whatsoever. Now they're able to use that information that another organization was able to use and use that in terms of deciding how severe the infractions were by said school.
Yeah, and
I mean, those are probably the top six things when you look at what the NCAA did yesterday.
And again, some things that you and I were talking during the break, and some things are a little fuzzy, and a couple things. I mean, like the agent representation deal for the high school players, the high school athletes. You know, that's what's the age, right? I couldn't find an age. Like, what age? So let's say a kid's a high school senior. High school senior. Okay, but
imagine it's a senior. I imagine juniors can sign with agents.
But do you need an age limit on it? Like, or because then I read something somewhere, I can't remember where agents, NCAA, oh, here it is. I'm reading from at Draft Express. Said, so the NCAA now clarifies that high school players will not be allowed to have agents until the age limit is removed, meaning 2021 at the earliest, but actually most likely 2022. So that's what I mean. Like that age thing, I think they still got to hammer some things out, to be honest with you. I think if the NCAA would have took one more day to hammer some things out, maybe this would have been a little clearer, some of the stuff.
And yeah, I do think that it was probably a mistake. I mentioned before, do they have to? No. I mean, you got to clean out your own house. But when you look at certain things in terms of the age of prospects, maybe that's something you have a conversation with the NBA, the Players Association here before moving forward. I mean, just to cross the T's and dot the I's, but I think it's a fair take. I mean, I think it's a fair point when we don't have that kind of a defined age limit in terms of the agents are concerned. Yeah. But I we'll see exactly. It doesn't resolve a lot. Does it create a little bit more confusion? To an extent, it probably does. And I think the NCAA, I do think, Taz, it's hard to say their heart's in the right place. I think their intentions, the committee's intentions, are in the right place.
I agree with that.
I think they're trying to clean the sport up.
I completely agree.
I think they've let it go, and things have gotten so out of whack for so long, it's going to take some time to clean it up.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm with you. Their intentions are in the right spot. They got to figure it out. That, again, not to be annoying about this age thing, but it's important. Like, and you're right, it's got to be a high school senior.
I would imagine a senior.
But a senior, as you know, Moose, could be, you never know. A senior could be 18. A senior could be, you could have a young senior who maybe is 16 or almost 17, you know. A senior could be a kid who's held back on purpose, and it sounds crazy, could be 19. Right. I know of one in lacrosse.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I get it. I think they're going to look at the put the age aside. They're going to look at the
graduation year.
The graduation year.
Mm. You agree with that?
I don't have an issue with that. Why would be the issue with that?
The issue I have with that is because if it's a kid on a younger end who's not held back, and a kid is, I mean, I think you can have, I'm not good with the months, but like if a kid's birthday, let's say when I was a high school senior, I was on a younger end. My birthday's in October. So I guess if you have a kid whose birthday's in the fall and he's on age, it could be, you could have could be a high school senior at 16? I think it can be, like a late 16. Like,
I think that'd be hard. I mean, you have to be really
young on a younger end. So I'd say early 17. So 17 years old.
Yeah.
So 17 years old. Okay, to have an age.
You go into high school at 15.
Well, I was a high school freshman at 14.
Right, but you were on the younger side.
I was. I was on the younger side. Right. Yeah. So. But I get.
I mean, for the most part, guys are mostly 15 years of age when they go to their freshman year of high school.
No, I agree with you. But I just think you got to, and I think they will. I think they got to have some kind of an age, the actual age. Because we were talking about something else yesterday, not with this topic, about age with high school players or, like, you know, you got to be careful with that because it's not just the graduation year. Anybody could have a graduation year, and you could hold your kid back or do whatever. The thing is that if it's on age, I just think 17 might be a little young to have someone have an agent.
Yeah,
that's
but
what I'm saying.
If they're an elite-level high school prospect and get invited to these camps, you know, that's the guy that we're that's the guy we're talking about.
I know.
About.
I know who we're talking
so,
about. I know.
We're not talking about every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. So you're looking at a guy at 17 years of age. LeBron James at 16 years of age was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
I know. Hey,
17.
Listen, bro.
If he's I
know.
Right. I get it. I'm just looking at it and saying, well, you've got to do something. It can't be. I would think if I'm 17 and I'm elite level a high school basketball player that and I'm getting invited to all these camps left and right, if I want to hire an agent, I should be able to hire an agent. If you're going to say 18, he might be out of high school already.
Could be. That could be. That's the main point right there. That could be. 17 could be good. Look, you're sitting next to a guy whose son committed to a Division I program at as a freshman in high school.
Right.
So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I'm not knocking any kid or parent that has their kid do anything advanced as an athlete at a younger age. I'm just saying as long as there's clear clarity on the age, not the graduation year, in my opinion.
Sure.
That's what I think it is.
No, I got you. Yeah. I got you. So we want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's your take on everything that's surrounding the new NCAA rules? Coming up straight ahead, Nick Saban reacts to Jalen Hurts' criticism. Some interesting storylines coming out of Alabama.
Yep.
We're going to get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, rolling right along here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio, toll free line 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
I have to tell you,
yeah.
If there was ever a guest, a non-sports guest, that I would love for us to have here on the show. I just saw the guy on TV. This is a guest I've always wanted to have on the Taz Show, my wrestling podcast. I never could get him. And that's Jack Black.
Okay.
He's on some sports show now.
Yeah, it's Scott Van Pelt from ESPN.
I did a bald guy with the glasses.
Yeah,
and it pisses me off. I mean, well, why we have to talk to all the brass here.
Yeah.
We need this guy Jack Black on the show here. This guy's hilarious, bro.
Yeah, very funny.
He's very funny. He's a sports fan, and I'm sure he's a fan of Taz and the Moose, let's be honest.
So he should be. Yeah, he would be great.
I think he'd be awesome, dude. Seriously.
I don't disagree with you there.
We need to get
put that on the to-do list.
Yeah, we'll put that on the docket, as we call it.
Yeah.
The docket.
Let's head down to Alabama.
All right.
As their quarterback scenario involving Tua and Jalen Hurts continues to unfold, and certainly let's listen to Jalen Hurts, who decided to hang around at Alabama, did not transfer after last year's national championship game where everyone thought he would. Here he is talking about from earlier the week, the quarterback competition.
Regardless of what people are saying, I'm still here. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my job is to be the best quarterback I can be, and that's what I strive to do every day.
So you were surprised when things were worded how they were at media days?
I'd say so. The spring has been so, you know, it went the way it did. But for me, like I said, I was kind of like, I'm not saying anything. So for me, when I look at the things that are being said and I'm not looking for it, it just comes to me. And when I see that those things are being said, I'm like, no, that's silly because, you know, he said this, he said that, maybe Coach Saban said this, whoever said whatever, what did Jalen say? Not a thing.
Did you want to say something, I mean, during this whole time to kind of clarify your position?
Well, I think, like I said, they didn't want me to talk for whatever reason. I get the opportunity to speak now, and I mean, I've always tried to handle situations like this and handle speaking the best way that I can, because in the day, I'm representing myself and I'm representing my family back home.
That is Jalen Hurts, the junior who's 26-2 in his career as a starter down in Alabama. You know, critical of the coaching staff's handling of the quarterback situation, the competition down there with the Crimson Tide. Here is the Tide's head coach, Nick Saban.
Every player has a right to express what he feels and what he thinks. And I think he has every right to do that with every coach or anybody in the organization that he has relationships with, which, you know, we certainly do quite often with all players at all positions. But, you know, look, this is probably a lot more important to people outside this organization than it is to people inside. I don't think this has any effect on our team.
Here he is on talking about how focused his team is.
The rhetoric will not have anything to do with who's the quarterback. That will obviously be decided on the field by how people execute, how they do their job. Same parameters that we talked about before in terms of who wins the team. And winning the team goes along with execution, leadership, players having confidence and belief, and that's not going to change.
Well, a couple of things. In my opinion, Moose, for that young man, Jalen Hurts, I appreciate his honesty, and he sounds like an intelligent kid, and he's a hell of a football player. He's a hell of a quarterback for sure. And he's in a tough spot right now because, you know, he's probably not going to be the starter. And I think after some of the things he said, he might have ticked off Coach. I mean, Coach is not going to admit that publicly. Why would the AD or the school, like, why would they even, you know, allow this kid as a junior to get in front of a mic and vent like this? I don't understand that. And he had said, Jalen Hurts had said in that sound we played that when this first, you know, right after the big one at the end of championship, like, he didn't get a chance to talk, basically, he said. Remember, he was saying something like that. He didn't right. get a chance to express. And he said, this guy said that, and that guy said this, and Coach said this. That. Yeah, well, look, you know. You're a young man. You're the quarterback at the University of Alabama, arguably the greatest college football program in the history of college football, and you on the cusp of probably losing your spot to help me out with his name.
Tua Tagovailoa.
So, you know, I don't know why they would allow a mic in front of this kid's mouth.
Well, I don't agree. He's with accomplished that. A lot down at Alabama.
I know he has.
He did remain there. When Saban was asked the question at SEC Media Day whether or not Hurts would be on the roster opening day, he said he had no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I mean, that's
not good.
If you're Jalen Hurts, that's got to be a startling statement. By the Alabama head coach, when you are locked into, well, what some would say is a quarterback battle, some might decide that it's already been decided that Tua, following that national championship game, is going to be the starter for Alabama.
Yeah, it's a tough
here look. Here in 2018, excuse me.
It's a tough look, dude, for Saban to say what he said back when, like, you know, I'm not sure if he'll be here or whatever, you know.
Well, I have no idea, right? And Hurts said he was shocked by it when he basically said after that he had every intention, made it clear beforehand, his intent on staying and graduating in December. So Jalen Hurts has made it perfectly clear down in Alabama that he's going to remain a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide. When Saban was asked about it, he said, I have no idea if he'll be on the roster opening day. I mean, that to me would shock me if I'm Jalen Hurts because there's something to be said. I'm not saying, Taz, listen, competition is competition, right? If Tua is a better quarterback, he's going to be the starting quarterback at Alabama. That's really what it comes down to. That's what Division I athletics is all about. However, Jalen Hurts should be treated a little bit better by this staff and by Saban, especially SEC Media Day, for what he has accomplished. To go 26-2 as a starter in the SEC is a very, very even without the support staff that he's got and the players around him. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I'd be ticked off as well.
And I agree with you.
I'd be ticked off.
Even if Jalen Hurts, hypothetically, I'm not saying the kid did this, after that happened and at the national championship, even if, hypothetically, Jalen Hurts was chirping in the locker room or, you know, to other athletes at the school or just to the football team or to some of the coaches, I'm going to transfer. Hey, I'm not going out like this. Let's say he was doing that, and I'm definitely not saying he did that.
Right.
Even then, Nick Saban and the coaching staff publicly should hold themselves at a higher standard and not air out anything and say, I'm not sure if he'll be here. Even if Jalen Hurts went to Nick Saban and said, Coach, I might transfer. That's between you and that kid. And again, kid, not man. That's a kid.
Right. He's a college athlete. He's not a paid professional athlete. There is a discernible difference. And a guy, Taz, that has handled everything with nothing but class and style.
I know.
Up until this stage, up until he spoke out on Sunday and addressed the media, everything else, he's been basically a good camper. He's been a good soldier.
I'm not knocking Jalen for getting in front of a mic. I'm saying the adults in the room, the public relations department of Alabama or the AD's office, whomever, was okay with that. I just don't, unless the kid just did it on his own, which, you know, he could. It's not, you know, I was about to say he's not under contract, but he actually is under contract. You know, when you're on a scholarship, you're under contract. And that's another thing folks don't understand. A scholarship, when you look at the language in athletic scholarships, they're contracts. And so I don't know the language in his particular deal, but I just don't think I would have allowed I would have said, Jalen, I don't think it's a good idea to get in front of the mic. We'd rather you not do this. That's what I would have done.
Well, think and you hear Hurts' comments on Saturday, Taz, over the weekend in terms of the coaching staff. Listen to this. So he said, for me, no one came up to me the whole spring, coaches included. No one asked me how I felt. No one asked me what was on my mind. No one asked me about the things that were going on. No one asked me what my future held. That's that. So now it's like when we try to handle the situation now, for me, it's kind of late. It's too late. The narrative has already been created. So if you are Nick Saban and you say you have no idea, literally you have no idea because you're not talking to Jalen Hurts and you're not asking him what he's thinking, what he's feeling, what's going on. If that's indeed true, think about that.
I believe I believe
that it is true as well. But nobody on that staff is asking Jalen Hurts what he's thinking, he's going through his mind.
You know why?
But that's ridiculous.
No, but you know why? I'll tell you why.
They treat him as a numbers game.
You're a number.
Yeah, right.
You're a number. Next man up, you're a number. No, I know you know that. I'm just saying. That's why. No, I don't agree with it.
I know you don't agree with it. But, Taz, he's done something at the university.
I know.
He's started 28 games at Alabama.
He's won a hell of a lot of games for that football program.
I would be hurt.
I know.
I as a young man who has done something, who's been a good student, he's graduating December. He's a junior who's going to graduate early. He could go to grad school. He could be a grad transfer after this year. I would be bothered if I were Jalen Hurts.
I agree with you.
You know, been there, done there. I take you to the national championship game. I have a bad game. You stick in Tua, and now basically you're turning your back on me in this program. And I'm not saying if Tua is a better player, he's a better player.
Right.
But there has got to be some sense of what a player has done for you in a program. No?
Yes, I agree. But
that puts blood, sweat, and tears into him. You treat him as a number?
And he put asses in the seats in that stadium. The thing is, and I agree with you, I do. I think that some of these big-time football programs and basketball that are making a lot of the programs are making tons of money for the school, I do think that a lot of these kids are treated straight up as numbers. And Nick Saban runs a tight ship. And I don't think Nick Saban's lying one bit. And when he basically said in that sound, again, paraphrasing that, hey, you know, it doesn't affect our program one bit. We're doing what we got to do or whatever he said, that type of thing. He's no selling it. I think he's telling the truth. I think that's how Nick Saban feels. He feels like basically the parts are not bigger than the machine. Okay, the machine is Alabama football.
Yes.
No matter who you are on that team.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? There's no one bigger than that program in Nick Saban's mind. And you know what? He's probably right.
Right. No one in that program is bigger than Nick Saban.
Well, that's even a better point. That's even a better point. Damn. That's even a better point.
That's right. It. Well no said. Player, no nothing. I've got a statue outside I walk by it every single day going into the stadium.
Yeah.
I am Alabama football.
Yeah, and he's a great coach. And whoever thought that you'd get someone in that could win games to the level or have the success and fame as like a Bear Bryant type.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban has done that.
I do feel for Jalen Hurts a little bit.
I do too.
I do.
I do too.
I mean,
I like
it's a tough
kid.
Spot that he's in.
It is.
He's a really, really good kid.
Yeah,
for everyone that's around him too. Coming up straight ahead, we're going to welcome the Dungies. Got new children's books out. We're going to talk a little football, talk a little bit about the books coming out. We're going to do that next. Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.